Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
A number of years ago, I was introduced to someone I didn't know by a mutual friend who introduced me as a photographer. And the person I was meeting turned to me and said, "What kind of photographer are you?" I thought that was a fascinating question. Not what kinds of things do you photograph, but what kind of photographer are you? It seemed to be a much more philosophical question than I was anticipating. And obviously, the question made some sort of impression on me because all these years later now, here I am talking about it in this podcast. So I'll extend the question by asking of you, what kind of photographer are you? Well, the first division is, are you a commercial photographer? That is to say, are you trying to earn a living with your photographic skills? In which case, that usually becomes the definition of what kind of photographer are you. But most commercial photographers that I know do other kinds of photography other than their work photography. At the very least, they may photograph their kids' birthday parties and school plays. They may have a full-blown art career, too, in addition to doing weddings. But for most of us, the kind of photography we define ourselves to be is based on either a location or a subject. We're a landscape photographer, or perhaps a still life photographer, or maybe a wildlife photographer. That's a kind of subject. But isn't it interesting how few definitions there are for the kinds of photographers based on location or subject? There's lots and lots of possibilities that I never hear. I've never heard anybody say, "I'm a daylight photographer," or "I'm a nighttime photographer." I've never heard anybody say, "I'm a fog photographer," although most of us do have pictures of fog, particularly those of us who are, quote-unquote, landscape photographers. Curiously enough, the one that always strikes me as odd is that I've never heard anybody say that the kind of photographer they are is based on capturing a certain kind of emotion. I'm a happiness photographer. I'm a sorrow photographer. I'm an elation photographer. I'm a sleepy photographer. Nobody uses those kinds of terms. We all have these very narrow, predetermined definitions of the kind of photographer we are. Knowing how to describe ourselves can be an important thing. It sets the context for how people will look at our work, how they will interpret what it is that we've produced. I'll never forget the time I was doing some photo reviews at Photo Lucida. This is years ago. And a photographer came up and put his portfolio on my table and handed me his business card. And it said his name, and then below his name on the business card it said, "Large Format Black and White Photographer of the Southwest Desert Landscape." I thought, well, that's a pretty narrow definition. But obviously that's what he loved, and if that's what he wanted to photograph, then that's great. But think of all the things that eliminates from his photographic efforts. And I offered my opinion that perhaps a less restrictive definition of the kind of photographer he was might be useful in allowing him and encouraging him to think outside that one box. That's the problem with these kinds of definitions, is they box us in. The minute you say, "I'm a landscape photographer," then what does that mean? You don't do urban scapes? Or if you're a street photographer, does that mean you don't do studio portraits? Or worse, can't do studio portraits? Anytime we box ourselves in, what we essentially do is put limitations on our creativity. And it seems to me that creativity should not be a thing that limits us. As a matter of fact, wouldn't it be useful if our self-perception, how we identify ourselves, encouraged our productivity? Here's a classic example. I know many photographers who perceive themselves as a print photographer, especially those of us who are of a certain age. Because when I grew up in photography, you've probably heard me say this before, if there wasn't a print, there wasn't a photograph. So by definition, if you were a photographer, you were a print photographer. That becomes part of our self-perception. What does that self-perception do to discourage maybe doing videos or doing PDFs or doing web presentations or even taking print off the wall and putting them in chapbooks or folios or some other means of distribution of our images? What kind of photographer are you is a question that actually promotes the limitations, because the minute you answer it with some sort of verbiage like, I'm a landscape photographer, I'm a print photographer, or whatever, you box yourself in, and that tends to discourage flexibility. I've had many people tell me they're a macro photographer, but what they really are is a little tiny bugs and flowers photographer, because that's what they tend to photograph. They're a nature lover. And nature lover is a broader definition than little tiny plants and bugs or macro photographer. Definitions are the problem here, because of something that's been studied extensively in Gestalt psychology, and that is, the more we define what we're looking for, the more blind we are to the world. The technical term for this is a scotoma. And perhaps the best illustration of this, I know a number of you have probably seen this, but some of you haven't, was a study done by a university somewhere, I've forgotten where it was now, and they had a bunch of students who were tossing a basketball back and forth between them, and the challenge to viewers was to count how many times the basketball changed hands. And so you're focused on looking at who's throwing the basketball to whom and who's catching it and etc. And I'm really hesitant to tell you the punchline of this story, but I can't resist, so it's a spoiler alert, sorry about that. The real test was not how many times the basketball was thrown and caught amongst this group of students. But instead, in the middle of all of that, another student dressed in a gorilla suit walks into the scene through the middle of people throwing the basketball and out at the other side. And the vast majority of people who tried to count the number of basketball throws never see the gorilla. And so the punchline is, you ask the question, did you see the gorilla? What gorilla? There's no gorilla. Oh yeah, there's a gorilla. Walked right through the middle of the scene, and you play the video back, and sure enough, there's the gorilla. That's the power of a scotoma. Because your attention was directed at the number of times the basketball was thrown, you weren't looking for a gorilla, and so it gets absolutely ignored. Even though your eyeballs see it, your brain screens it out. That's the scotoma. It's literally not raised into your consciousness, although the physicality of your eyeballs obviously saw it. The power of defining what we look for is amazing. So if you define yourself as a landscape photographer, you may miss opportunities to photograph macro flowers and bugs. Or if you define yourself as a macro photographer, you may miss the opportunity to photograph wildlife or beautiful landscapes or foggy scenes or whatever. What kind of photographer are you is really a trick question, I have to confess. Because I really don't want you to answer the question, what kind of photographer are you? Because if you answer that, you will, by definition, create blind spots in your vision that will block out some things that might be very interesting for you to photograph and explore as an artist. Let me put it another way. Imagine that someone unbelievably creative like Dwayne Michaels defined himself as a portrait photographer or a print photographer. That might completely eliminate from his work all the handwritten stories that he puts on the photographic paper, which is a huge part of his artwork that makes it so wonderful and special. Or imagine Jerry Yulsman defining himself as a straight photographer that would completely eliminate all his recombinant images, and thereby we would have lost a great artist. Maybe what I'm trying to get at here is simply this. All of us would benefit by asking the question, what kind of photographer are you? But instead of defining it by the subject or the location or the common ways that photographers divide themselves, instead of putting boxes and limitations around us and saying we're this kind of photographer or that kind of photographer, maybe what we ought to strive to be is observant photographers, sensitive photographers, communicative photographers, aware photographers, creative photographers. There's lots of ways to answer that question that don't put boxes around our creativity and limit what we photograph and how we photograph. And I think I can make that statement without hesitation because the world is such a fascinating place and lends itself to all kinds of different approaches with a camera, with processing, and certainly now with digital workflows. We can do almost anything we can imagine. How about being imaginative photographers? The longer I've been involved in photography, the more suspicious I've become of those kinds of definitions that try to squeeze our work, our efforts, our vision, our sensitivity into these narrow little categories that can be an absolute wet blanket on our creativity. I suppose it's not very satisfying to answer the question, what kind of photographer are you, with the answer, the kind who makes images. Unfortunately, an answer that won't please anybody. But it's kind of true. And we might make all kinds of images if we just allow ourselves to do so. One of the most frequent questions I get from young photographers, beginning photographers who haven't really found their turf, as it were, is what kinds of things should I be photographing? Or maybe they'll just come out with a statement, I can't find interesting things to photograph. It's always been my contention that when that statement arises, it's because they can't find anything that fits the narrow definition that they're trying to apply to themselves. So maybe someone says, I'm a landscape photographer. But photographing in your backyard doesn't seem very interesting because it's not very extensive a landscape. It's not particularly special. But it might be a lifetime of work for a macro photographer who likes photographing little flowers and bugs and mushrooms and fascinating rocks and twigs and dried leaves. But of course, if you're a landscape photographer and you define yourself that way, you might not be able to give yourself permission to photograph those things in your backyard. Definitions are useful things. They help us categorize the complexity of life. But in the art life, definitions can also be incredibly restricting and limiting. And I think it's not a bad idea from time to time to just give a few moments to think about how you are defining yourself in your creative life and whether or not those definitions are putting restrictions on you that maybe it would be good to let go of.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.